Hey everybody, and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and today I'm introducing the second in our series of special podcasts from our friends at Ingram Micro Canada, discussing Windows Server Explained, powered by Intel Xeon. In this special executive edition, the Server Explained podcast series host, Kirk Sinclair of Microsoft Canada, is joined by top executives from the Canadian technology industry. His peer, Craig Tullett, Vice President of Device Sales for Microsoft Canada, Mike Hilton, President of HPE Canada, and Denis Gaudreau, Country Manager for Intel Canada, for a wide-ranging conversation around opportunities with Windows Server 2022 and much more. The team discusses HPE's GreenLake infrastructure as a service offering and how that fits in with the on-prem opportunity with Windows Server. They discuss partner opportunities around the upcoming end of life for the venerable Windows Server 2012 platform. They weigh in on the growing trend around the intelligent edge, and perhaps most importantly, they answer the ultimate pandemic era question, puppy, pool, or Peloton. Like I said, it's a wide-ranging conversation around many of the hot-button infrastructure opportunities for Canadian VARs and MSPs right now. So please, give a listen to this podcast from the Windows Server Explained, powered by Intel Xeon series.
Welcome to Windows Server Explained, powered by Intel Xeon. I'm Kirk Sinclair, Partner Sales Executive with Microsoft DPSS. Devlin Norris, my usual co-host, will actually be getting an executive producer credit for this recording. So this will be a very special executive edition of Server Explained. On today's episode, we have three Canadian leaders in the IT infrastructure ecosystem. Denis Gaudreau, Country Manager for Intel Canada.
Hi,
and we've also got Mike Hilton, President of Hewlett Packard Enterprise.
Hi, everybody.
And last, but also my boss, Craig Tullett, Vice President for Device Partner Solution Sales Canada at Microsoft.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Kirk, for this opportunity.
Awesome. So thanks, gentlemen, for joining. So as this is a hard-hitting, tough question asking podcast, I wanted to start really strong. COVID really changed not just how we work, but also our personal lives. So Denis, Mike, and Craig, any big life changes? Or the real question I want to ask to everyone here is, puppy, pool, or Peloton?
Oh, wow. Two of the three.
We already had a pool, but we've added a puppy and a Peloton in the last year. Most recently, the Peloton, and then a year ago, we added the puppy. So we're firing on all cylinders, keeping ourselves busy here with lots to do and lots to distract us from infrastructure conversations, but glad to be able to make it to this one today.
I feel a little bit pandemic inadequate with that question because I'm not either of those three. I will say, and you can probably see it today, I have embraced the idea of standing desks, though. That's one of the big outcomes, whether that's, I guess, my version of Peloton, but this idea that we spend far too much time sitting, and I've really actually come to enjoy standing. I find it has a big impact on my back, so I've been really appreciative of that.
Kind of same thing here. So none of the three, but I'm still very active, but nothing on Peloton per se, I would say. So
love it.
So you don't know what you're missing, fellas. It's life changing.
You mean the new dog, Craig, I think is what you really mean, life changing, right? Lots of walk.
Both.
Yeah. Lots of walk, for sure. So other big changes and really near and dear to Craig and my heart is August is actually an incredibly important month for Microsoft, especially with our infrastructure business, as we now have general availability on Windows Server 2022. This also brings us kind of within striking range of end of support on Windows Server 2012, which is going to occur in October 2023. So that's a really exciting time for us, as we know that offering of new technology, and then as we phase out the older legacy products, something really interesting happens. So in a Spiceworks latest State of IT 2021 survey, they're actually saying that about 61% of surveyed North American businesses are going to need to update outdated IT infrastructure. And that's actually going to be one of the largest drivers of increased IT budgets. Now, that same survey also says that there's a shift between hardware spend, shifting away about 4% to managed services and hosted cloud services. So I'm going to ask you, Mike, how do you feel that the channel can leverage a new operating system and end of support in the face of that potential paradigm shift? And what's the big opportunity that HPE really brings beyond just doing a standard hardware flip?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, when you upgrade an operating system, there's typically something that's running on top of that. And so, you know, there's this interesting dynamic between the underlying hardware, the operating system, or the infrastructure that kind of manages the core hardware, and then the application that resides on top of that. And so any opportunity when it's presented where that middle layer has to be replaced, it creates several opportunities. One is, can this reside in a new location, right? You still, you know, leverage that Windows server in some other way. But then the other one is, can we actually, you know, kind of redesign our overall strategy to be a little bit more hybrid? Because if we had legacy infrastructure, it was hard to embrace this new hybrid model. And what HPE is really committed to is not only helping people, partners, customers embrace that hybrid model, but make it a cloud experience. This is what HPE GreenLake is all about, this ability to actually deliver that on-premise capability in a cloud way, where it's metered, it has variability, you only pay for what you use, true consumption-based offers. And then where it gets really exciting for both customers and partners is if I'm actually going to reconstitute some of that infrastructure and migrate or potentially even replatform, rebuild that application onto this new operating system, can I wrap it in a managed service? You talked about this idea of delivering it as a managed service. And as a managed service provider, nothing makes my business more viable than if the backend costs are all usage-based. Because then I can easily pass that on to the customer in the same way that it occurs in the public cloud. And so that combination creates some really exciting opportunities for partners to start to develop some of these managed services capabilities, knowing that they have hardware and software partners like those of us on the call today that are there to support them in helping to build those capabilities.
So I love that. You know, the ability to transform and change the model. On the client side, we're very active around DAS, having something that starts to look and start consuming our cloud. In the same way, it sounds like we can now do a version of consumption-based on-premise with GreenLake, but now leveraging that even for partners who thought, I could only sell Azure in that consumption model prior. That's
well,
really
and I think also the opportunity is in that transition, you know, there are going to be workloads that, you know, can't move to that Azure footprint that they may have. And they're looking for a way to address that. And you talked about end of support. I mean, end of support is an interesting challenge for people. And we saw this even with Windows Server 2008. I couldn't readily re-platform the application. The application was tightly bound to that legacy version of Windows Server. And so being able, you know, we want to move as much as we can to be on the latest, especially from a security perspective. We know that's very important today. But the ability to say, okay, well, that application that's, you know, kind of tightly bound to Windows 2012, do I need to pay for extended security updates or things of that nature? And if I can now put it on something like Azure Stack HCI or Azure Stack Hub, make that a Azure experience on-premise, but then more importantly, pay for the Azure, the actual hardware, the Azure Stack hardware, pay for that on a consumption basis, that's the best of all worlds, because now I have this beautiful ecosystem where I have the workloads that make sense sitting in public cloud, the workloads that can't move to public cloud sitting on, say, new infrastructure, running new versions of Windows, and the workloads that I can't upgrade quite yet, also getting to take advantage of that consumption-based ecosystem in a hybrid model. And so really, for the partner, I'm able to give the customer all the choice they need to be able to make that transition.
Yeah, this is really innovative, Mike, what you guys are doing at HPE in terms of marrying up the what's becoming the predominant billing method for consumption of the software side and application side to the hardware side. So for that end customer and for the partner, the billing becomes simplified, the costs become predictable, high degree of scalability up and down as necessary. So that whole delivery of workload experience is centralized around a subscription and consumption model, which is truly the innovation that I think is going to thrust these SMBs and enterprise customers to truly embrace the digital transformation. We know they're already going down that path, but these are the kinds of breakthroughs that will really accelerate it and then change the sort of paradigm forever.
Well, I think if anything, the last 12 months have shown us, or 18 months now, have shown us we need that variability in our ecosystem, not just in the public cloud. We need it on-premise as well. We need the ability to adapt to macroeconomic changes, right? If all of a sudden, you know, a big chunk of my workforce needs to work remotely and I need to shut down components of my infrastructure, I need to be able to reap real savings from doing that. And I can only do that if I have consumption-based IT in all locations.
Love it. Denis, speaking of end of support, like 2012, we're looking at boxes of that have been out there for 10 years, right?
Yeah.
That's a lifetime in silicon. And if we were looking at the late 2000s, I think you folks were still building 45 nanometer chips, right? And I think you just announced that, you know, your new chip is now 10 nanometers, you know, and the third generation Xeon's apparently driving 46% improvement on most workloads. What other efficiencies can our partners and customers expect from an upgrade to the latest Intel hardware?
Yeah, so I think Mike and Craig really described what's going on, right, with the as a service infrastructure that people are building up. And that's what really what we are doing with our third generation of Xeon that we announced a few months ago, which is a more advanced performance data center platform in years, right? Like you mentioned, so on average, people will get like 1.46x, so versus previous generation, and many, many x versus like years ago generation, right? And what we did really is to what Mike described, right? Is to really improve the performance as a service. So on top of the obvious, which is increasing number of cores, so there was big improvement on the memory front with the Optane memory, because we look at what people are trying to do is really to lower the TCO, put more VM, more container, more stuff on their platform, right? So, and they can optimize. And that's what we can do with that Optane memory that give them up to 6 terabytes of memory, or move all their, and we know the importance of data, removing all their database in memory. So there's a lot of improvement done in that front. And also, you were mentioning, Mike, the level of the importance of security, right? So we put some specific instruction and silicon improvement specifically for security, whereas the total memory encryption, where you can totally encrypt your memory at the hardware level, so making sure everything, or the Intel SGX, which put enclave within your memory and your OS and the hardware, making sure everything is fully secure, acceleration and cryptography, acceleration and AI. So a lot of improvement that helping people to get better performance on that move to as a service, what is on-premise or off-premise, right? So
big thing. I think also great innovation in partnership with Intel, where HPE has worked with Intel to develop what we now call collectively silicon as a service. So bringing consumption, not just at the software level, but even right down to the core level within the silicon, so that we can say to a customer, look, you may not need that much capacity today, but the ability to respond quickly to market demand or business demand and not worry about supply chain issues or things of that nature, but not pay for it all up front. So let's get the silicon in place. Let's have it ready for you when you need it, and then turn it on demand. And that's really the concept behind silicon as a service.
Yeah, that's a kind of a big, I would say, revolution when you think about it, because some of that capability was available off-premise, but now there's we all know, right? You look at your cloud strategy, so it's the right workload at the right place, and many of those workloads need to be on-premise, right? So, and like you said, so when you want that agility and flexibility with those on-premise workloads, so you turn to HPE GreenLake with silicon as a service, right? So, and that's perfect, right?
And you know, Intel deserves a lot of credit on this, because historically we could manage some of this with just software, right? You only deployed X amount of software, but you still needed the hardware. And the fact that Intel has stepped in to allow us to go as a service at the silicon level really opens the door for customers, and it's very exciting.
Well, and let me pile on, because with Azure Stack HCI, the new host OS is also billed as an Azure service based on the number of cores per node. So everything is moving in that direction where, again, a customer and a partner has a very predictable billing model and cost structure based on the infrastructure that they ultimately decide is right for their business.
And that's a great point, Craig. So we actually saw a fundamental change starting back in Windows Server 2016, right? Because we kind of moved from what was just kind of licensing and now differentiated offerings, especially in Windows Server 2016 data center, where we started introducing, Windows Defender, right? So our antivirus solution in the server OS, and then also our HCI offering. For the new server that's coming up, what are you most excited about? What are you most looking forward to with Windows Server 2022?
Yeah, well, I think this is, the continuation of 25 years of innovation for Microsoft in terms of Windows Server. It's a very popular product, obviously a huge install base of fans on Windows Server. So yeah, it's an exciting time for the company. But I think what you see coming out in Windows Server 2022, I mean, I'd love to talk about just one thing, but I'll talk about four, if that's okay, because I think what's really, this new server product is designed for the current state of work, right? And so first of all, it's about hybrid capabilities, as we've just talked about here. I mean, no server is truly an offline, on-prem only experience. I mean, very few are. Every SMB, or almost 80% anyway, are thinking about that digital transformation, which includes scalability to the cloud. So first and foremost, Windows Server 2022 includes that hybrid capability with Azure that allows you to extend that data center to Azure. It's a cloud-ready operating system, and the hybrid capabilities are built right in. And then the second big thing that's going on, of course, is security. I mean, that's always been going on, but it's super heightened right now because of the amount of variability in where the users are accessing workloads from and how they're accessing and on which device. And so there's a whole gamut of increased capability built in multi-layer security that really helps to protect the data and the apps virtually every level of the business, starting right with the operating system in Windows Server 2022. And then the third is around more secure remote working, as we talked about, right? Making sure that the tools for administrators to allow remote work and access to data and apps through remote is done seamlessly and secure. So that's a key focus for it. And then finally, it's about modernized infrastructure, right? So it's about creating more flexibility for app creation and app deployment, containerization. Of course, there's always software-defined storage and software-defined networking, which allows you to really get profitability and sort of cost efficiency out of the hardware solution. So I think those are the four key things that customers and partners should look forward to in Windows 2022, which builds on a lot of the capability of 2019, which is important to note because it's not a complete rebuild, and there isn't going to be necessarily a ton of work that needs to be done to make sure that applications and workloads are compatible. This is built on top of 2019. So very seamless, but certainly a step forward on across those four key capabilities.
And Microsoft actually offers a free tool, Windows Admin Center, which we're also updating with Windows Server 2022, and you can do server migration. So I think that's an important piece. If you're going to purchase new hardware and you're going to move that 2012, 2016, 2019 box to the latest version, you've got the capability to put it up into Microsoft's cloud and then redeploy back down. Right. So really cool capability there to remotely log in and ad hoc management. So we're excited about that. Denis, you said something very interesting that I just want to double click on. And I think Intel and the DPSS team, we use the same buzzword. So the intelligent edge, that is what we're all about, right? So we want to compute on the edge. We want to have a great experience, whether your internet connection is good or not so good, whether you're going to pay for it or not. And so intelligent edge, first of all, what does that mean to Intel, but also AI and infrastructure? Like, that's a really exciting piece that you're, AI infused in your processing for infrastructure. So intelligent edge and AI, what does that mean to Intel?
Yeah, so those are big market shifts, right, that really are driving our industry, right? Like cloud was probably one of the first in the past few years, right? And you look like 5G network transformation, and we include in that AI and the intelligent edge, right? So and when you look at what people, and it's a great opportunity basically for all the partners and all the community, because when you look at what people want with the volume of data that's created, the speed of that data that's created, the variety of that data, and we all know data has like a big gravity, right? So it's expensive to move data, you have to make decisions. So basically when you look at the intelligent edge, it's kind of moving that decision more at the edge. So where the data is that you can make decision, whether it's within a surveillance camera that you can make AI-based decision within the camera that you don't need to go back to your cloud and to make that decision, or it's through a hospital or a device like a PC or anything that you give more power, more capability to be done at the edge. So it's why when you look at our product portfolio, we're putting a lot of new, I would say, AI-infused instructions, acceleration within the product that computing power is done at the edge. So you don't need to go on the network and in your data center to make those decisions based on the edge. So it's a tremendous opportunity for all of us, and especially for the partners, because more and more customers will be looking to deploy like intelligent edge moving forward. Yes.
And I think, you know, what's exciting for us in that is we actually view it as just another form of cloud. We all at HPE will often refer to it as the edge cloud, because we can deliver consumption-based services at the edge as well. So you have consumption at the edge, you have consumption at the core or in your private data center, and you have consumption-based IT in the public cloud. And the ability to operate in a cloud experience across all of that is incredibly powerful. And it really promotes the idea, you know, data gravity being the most important one, but just efficiency in general, of having the ability to operate where the people are and where the data is, and not necessarily have to backhaul across your network, as Denis pointed out. But then again, more importantly, being able to have that as a full cloud experience is really key to making the whole model successful.
Yeah, no, hey, look, it's an exciting time, right? Because on the one hand, you know, what was happening was people looking at on-premise data centers and corporate environments and thinking, okay, I need to potentially move some workloads to the cloud. You know, is this the end of the data center? Of course, that hasn't proven to be true at all. But at the same time, what's been happening is we've been popping up a bunch of edge compute solutions, which has actually, I think, become an incremental opportunity for those of us in the hardware ecosystem, with a lot more potential for volume, I think, of devices. And of course, you have the software solutions on top of that, like, for example, Azure Arc, that helps to manage all those disparate edge compute and on-prem and cloud workloads. So you have a single pane of glass that you can use to keep track of all those workloads, all those VMs, and just monitor the health of your network and your infrastructure. So, I mean, the industry is certainly moving to an environment where enabling those edge compute, edge server, you know, for data resiliency, you know, for high availability is critical. And I think a lot of our, you know, customers are creating scenarios now where that works for their business. It's going to give them an edge in terms of the data they can collect and how they can analyze it and turn that into strategic business insight quickly. So it's a very exciting time.
You might have a marketing slogan there, Craig, you know, get an edge with your edge.
Well done.
I love it.
So, Mike, speaking of marketing, how do we simplify GreenLake so that Ingram Associates, Ingram Partners can go in and land the value prop? Because it actually doesn't sound that complex, but we want to make sure that the value prop is properly landed. So, you know, what's your best elevator pitch?
I mean, I think the core message that everybody needs to operate on is we don't view cloud as a journey or a destination. We view cloud as an experience, right? So first and foremost, what do you love about public cloud? What do you love about that ability to not have to pay anything up front, to have variable consumption, to only pay for what you use, to be able to optimize and actually reap savings when you have a change in organizational structure or a macroeconomic event, as we talked about, like COVID-19. And so that's the high level message. And then once you layer that in, it's okay, then let's look at what workloads are most appropriate to remain on premise and give them that cloud experience. Give them that same capability that you're currently layering on those workloads that you've migrated to public cloud. In doing that, we then have really accomplished the core message. And, you know, a lot of the complexity that used to exist in this cloud conversation has gone, because many people, if not all, have some form of public cloud component within their IT ecosystem today. So they've already addressed the CapEx, OpEx conversation. That complexity can go away. They've already addressed the cloud operating model. You know, this idea of don't just do lift and shift, make sure you're taking advantage of variability in the design of your workloads. You know, if a marketing workload only needs to run from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m., don't run it 24/7, 365. You're using compute unnecessarily. So all of that has already been really accomplished with many customers. We're now taking the complexity out of managing a traditional CapEx IT in concert with a public cloud OpEx IT and bringing a complete unified cloud experience, regardless of where it is, including the edge, as we talked about. It just doesn't have to be in the core. And so I think that's the message for the associates, is to say, let's just go and have a conversation about what do you love about cloud experiences and how do we bring that to where the technology needs to reside or where it's best suited to reside and deliver that experience in that location.
I love that, because I think you're showing intent as opposed to, in some of the conversations I've had with partners, cloud by accident. Right. You know, it's just like it happens and we load and we need this workload. So, you know, disparate systems, shadow IT, whatever you want to call it, things are just happening. Whereas you now have the capability to analyze that, identify the right place for that workload to go, of which, you know, you've got a great consumption offering there.
Well, I think that comment of intent is really critical, because what we certainly coach people in our own organization and our partner ecosystem is GreenLake should not be a, do you want fries with that conversation, right? This is not about moving in a standard traditional IT direction and then at the last minute saying, oh, would you like to GreenLake that? That is more of a financing conversation, right? And GreenLake is not a financing vehicle. GreenLake is bringing that cloud operating model to any location that you want your infrastructure to reside, private cloud with, say, an Equinix or someone of that nature, your own data center in the core or an edge environment. And that is very intentful.
All right. And so, Denis, aside from hosting great podcast content like this, what do you feel is Ingram's role for partnership with your business? Because you, like Craig and I, actually we're selling a lot of embedded solutions. So it's somebody else's name on the box, but our fate absolutely is behoven to folks like Mike. Where does Ingram fit in on that, and how do you see the, you know, the value props that they land?
Yeah, so the Ingram is key in the ecosystem, right? So it's really the key leverage when you're like thinking at Intel or any large organization like HP or Microsoft, right? If you're a partner, you don't want to deal directly with us, right? So it's painful. So having Ingram like and handling all of that, so it's awesome. Also, so you as a partner, you're selling the solution, you're working with the customer, the end customer, right? So and Ingram is there for you to provide you with all the product selections, the technology deep dive, so anything, so kind of simplify things that you can go after your market and your customer more efficiently, right? So for us, it's really our scale engine that we can deliver all the goodness that we have, the programs and everything through our partners and through the ecosystem. So it's super important.
Yeah, I think that comment about, you know, bringing together solutions for the partners that work with Ingram. You know, Ingram, just at this podcast alone, has brought together Microsoft, Intel, and HPE and helped demonstrate how there's a cohesive relationship between all three of these organizations if it was one solution. And that really makes it easy for partners to figure out how to go to market with three different large multinational vendors, but in a common singleized solution that they can take to any customer.
Yeah, and let's not discount the work they do to make sense of all the various programs that we have and the, you know, terms and conditions. And, you know, there's some real, you know, leadership and creativity demonstrated by the Ingram team to make sure that what ultimately makes it to the VAR community is workable, right? And is something that they can pitch to end customers and facilitate from a transaction perspective. So, you know, big kudos to the Ingram team for working within the very sometimes rigid and unflexible confines of big corporate vendors. But at the end of the day, they make that work for the ecosystem, and that's a huge value add.
And they have so much knowledge of the partner market, right? So they can do that. They're like kind of reality check for us, right? They'll say, no, no, that won't work. That's good. That's good programs, everything. So super, super helpful for us, right?
I love that. Yeah, the feedback loop on you know, from Ingram is great. We've got a great team, so we've got a funded resource. Mike, I know you've got resources as well, and Denis as well. So a great system that allows you to engage with, again, our three vendors, understand the programs, you know, and the capabilities and the solutions. So very exciting. So gentlemen, I want to thank you for your time today. I think this was an amazing conversation, super productive. I sincerely hope that the Ingram ecosystem of associates, executives, and partners get something out of this talk. And we look forward to working with you in the future and hosting some great solutions as well.
Well, thanks for setting it up, Kirk. And to my colleagues, Mike and Denis, great to see you. Thank you so much for your partnership and for the contributions into this conversation. It was very informative and very collaborative.
Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
So thank you for listening to Windows Server Explained, powered by Intel Xeon, on our special executive episode. If you'd like to learn more about HPE GreenLake, Intel Gen 3 Xeon Scalable Processors, and of course, Windows Server 2022, please visit Server Explained at www.serverexplained.com. Thank you. Stay safe.